Hey everybody, we're gonna lull you to sleep. I'm gonna take you to a little dream world. Just think of your deepest dreams, your biggest abilities. You're gonna become a dream warrior with all of us. We're all gonna be the dream warriors. As we discuss Dream Warriors Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3 on our second live episode from Monster Mania 2018, but not at Monster Mania 2018.
For 1 mile down the road.
1 mile down the road. So this one, of all of the movies we watched, I have the least amount of notes for, because we also recorded a bunch of episodes for the podcast in a hotel room. And I think it's just because I fucking love this movie. Like, I don't need no notes.
I needed notes.
I didn't see it. I lived it.
And the best part is that Steven made my entire body turn green with envy by bringing a sweet Nightmare on Elm Street VHS. It's got like the Dokken MTV video on it.
Yes, this VHS actually has a story as well. When I first saw this movie, it was in 1989, I believe, and my older brother came home after buying it, and he's like, "What are you doing home?" And I'm like, "I'm home from school because I pretended to be sick." And he's like, "Well, you're going to watch this and be a man." And I was like, okay. And it was awesome. But even better than that, this is his because I stole it from him. So fuck you, Brian.
So we're going to do something a little bit different.
Did you realize that both your brothers are named Brian?
Just now.
I mean, yeah. I heard him say the name Brian and it clicked.
Go fuck yourself. I'm not doing this podcast.
So we're going to be a little bit like Analog Jones for a split second, which is the podcast that Steven hosts. Was there any good trailers at the start of the Nightmare on Elm Street 3 VHS tape?
No, and it was pissed because I was like, oh, this is going to be some great ones, new line. You know they're going to stick it with this one. And then it was just like, media started. And I was like, oh, no.
No
trailers at all?
No.
Disappointment.
I mean, usually on our podcast when we're doing VHSs, we get spectacular trailers. And this one was very disappointing. But we did get a good quote, which I could not find. Is this real? From the very beginning of this, it says, "Sleep, those little slices of death, how I loathe them." Edgar Allan Poe.
I mean, it sounds...
I think I saw that as a title card. Is
yeah.
that right?
Yeah, it pops up as a title card. I mean, I don't know Edgar Allan Poe's work by heart, but that seems in line with the things that he wrote.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, nothing gets me more hype than the old school red and black flashing New Line Cinema.
Oh,
with,
such
like,
good.
The lines
yeah.
between it.
So
like,
good.
Nothing. Nothing. Like, my wife can be like, "I'm going to give you $1 million and sexual favors." And I'll be like... Yeah, but are you going to show me the flashing New Line Cinema?
Well, it didn't have any
well,
of the trailers.
She'll show you that before the sexual figures.
See, instead of putting trailers on this, though.
Projected on the wall.
Instead of putting trailers, though, they did put the entire music video at the end.
Oh, yeah.
And it is awesome.
My biggest problem with the music video is the screaming from the movie that they added on top of and very poorly mastered. With, like, it's mixed so high that you can't hear anything except for your, like, speakers reverberating over top of that last chorus, I think it is.
Yeah.
But it's like the, no, I'm sorry, it's the bridge, right? Like, the best part of the song is like, "Sweet, repent."
Yeah, that's where all the screams are.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you can barely see the music video on this
it's
VHS.
It's so dark and grainy.
So
like, if you
nasty.
Watch it on YouTube, it's the exact same as Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
It's almost at, like, at the very end of the tape, they just kind of like, oh, there's only shit tape left. Ah, just stick the music video on it. We don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. So the movie starts off with Christy listening to the second best talking song from the movie, Into the Fire.
Ooh.
As she's making a paper mache of the Krueger house.
This album... is Back for the Attack, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm pretty positive that this is Back for the Attack. And so this is Dokken's best record. It's got so many good songs on it. Like, I unironically love this record. And anybody that even remotely likes Dream Warriors, listen to Back for the Attack. It is a really good record. And George Lynch, the guitar player for the band, is just stupidly talented.
So we get our first of, like, I mean, this movie, there's very little in actual, like, things that I want to discuss that aren't just like, let's just talk about all of the dream sequences. Because like they kind of all just link the story together anyway. Like anytime that they're not in a dream, they're just having exposition.
Yeah, so, yeah, this movie is way too much exposition to be a good film, but it still is a good film. Like, I don't even know how it does it.
Great film.
I also read this was the first Nightmare on Elm Street to not begin with a dream.
I mean, but it kind of does begin with a dream, doesn't it? She's, like, making the paper mache.
Yeah, but that's real.
And then she drifts to sleep. Okay, fair enough.
No, yeah. Like, okay. Well, what I do like about
this... It's from Fangoria, I don't know.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I mean, I trust Fangoria. But, like, the best part about this is that we had Nightmare on Elm Street 84, right?
Yeah.
And then we had Nightmare on Elm Street 2,
85. They rushed that one. And then they took some time.
They took till 87 for Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors. And this is a return to form for the intro where she's making the papier-mâché house.
Yeah.
And it's exact, like, similarities. I would love to see a side-by-side of this and Freddy making his glove, which I think is very cool.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. So, yeah, the first one doesn't start with a dream. Fangoria's wrong.
Well, let's just say the title card is the dream.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I'm sorry. The title card is itself, and then we have, in the original, Amanda Weiss running down in her, like, white nightie and the goat bleeding in the background. And then what's the beginning of part two?
It's the bus.
Okay, yeah. So that is, like, a dream sequence.
Yeah.
And then we have...
The whole movie's like a dream.
Yeah. A wet dream for all of us. But we have Patricia Arquette's character talk to her mom.
Their whole relationship is so uneven.
It is awful. That mom is fucking Patricia Arquette up. So Patricia Arquette is like, her name's Kristen, and she's hardcore dry chewing caffeine pills, which have to be the most bitter thing you've ever put in your mouth. Like, they are disappointment turned into a food. Like, it's just like, but they're like pop rocks. It sounds like she's like.
Is that where she took the spoonful of coffee and then drank it with Diet Coke?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. She took caffeine pills and then she took some fucking Senka. No, I'm sorry, not Senka. Freeze-dried coffee that my dad used to drink all in the 80s. It's that stuff. She took a spoonful, like a giant spoonful.
Oh,
just like,
I've got to read it. Yuck. Spoonful of Maxwell coffee and Diet Coke. Hey, notes, they're important.
Yeah. Well, so
but
this
then
is...
she like still falls asleep.
She still falls asleep, and this is like, I mean, I would make the strong argument that like the first Nightmare has some pretty cool dream sequences.
I love the bathroom sequence.
But I'd be hard pressed to think of a bad dream sequence inside of Dream Warriors. Like most of them are very great.
I think that the least awesome has to do with
the wizard.
Yeah, it's still weak as shit. Like it's better than pretty much everything in 4 and 5, except for the roach death.
Yeah, I was going to say, the roach death is like the shining beacon of light throughout those two movies.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, still, the wizard is better than everything except for the roach death.
The roach death super makes up for that one death where the guy gets killed by an invisible Freddy in a karate studio.
Yeah. But also we have Screaming Mad George to thank for the cockroach scene.
Here we do. So this, written by Frank Darabont.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't direct. I forget who directed. Oh, directed by the guy who did the Blob remake. So it's just and
there's not nearly enough child death
it's
to make
Chuck
it.
Russell.
It
is. Chuck Russell.
Chuck Russell. There we go. And then you know, the bathroom scene is great with the Freddy claws.
I love it. It's
sink.
So
like,
good.
This is awful for an audio medium.
I love your sound effects though.
Yeah, those were great practical effects. I was really trying to figure out how they did that.
There's, like, not a bad practical effect.
And it's not stop motion? That's what I want to know.
Yeah,
it's animatronic, and I don't know how they did it.
And it's not answered in the 5.5 hours of Never Sleep Again.
Oh, my God.
The one question
Steven and I had that
it's
conversation.
It's 5.5? I thought it was 4.
I'm making up numbers. It's long.
It is 4+. And Steven and I were talking about this while we were walking around Mania yesterday. Like, we can't finish it. Because Heather Langenkamp is obnoxious. She's awful.
And I've watched it like 8 times.
Oh, man, I can't wait till you get to her in this. I got a note.
So everyone thinks that Chrissy tried to kill herself, so they put her in the psych ward. And this is where we meet the whole wacky cast of suicidal characters and Cowboy Curtis, who's taking care of all of them. They're all great. Like, this is... The difference between the first Nightmare and this movie with all of the other Nightmare movies is that you genuinely like every teenager that's in this movie. They're, like, compelling characters. You feel sorry for them.
Well, I would say that Who's the strong man? What's his name?
Kincaid.
Kincaid, thank you. He's my least favorite just because I feel like... He's my least favorite only because they don't really like... He's just kind of like a jive-talking motherfucker. Like, I don't like that. It's so...
He seems like a dude who's got a wallet that says badass motherfucker on it.
No, he's only because he's written that way. In real life, if this was really written in, like, a better way, he would be a little bit more nuanced instead of, like, the jive talk.
I don't know, because I don't know if you got to the Dream Warrior sequence in Never Sleep Again, but that's pretty much exactly how he talks in all of his interviews, too, unless he's just in character the whole time.
He went into the interview as that character.
Yeah. He has the one line that I love where he's just like, he goes, you know, like, I got to live till the end, which is pretty cool because, you know, that's great. But then, like, they killed me in the first movie right away. Like, they were like, we forgot to kill the black guy in the last movie. He's like, my family went to see the movie. I said, don't get popcorn or you're going to miss me. He's great. I love Kincaid. But, like,
I like him, but I feel like he's just borderline racist. That's what I'm saying.
I mean... Yeah, I could see that. But I do, I just like that he does not give a fuck. Like, there's that one point where they're like, we're going to administer this. He's like, fuck you, you're going to administer this.
Yeah, he's like, the fuck you are. Like,
he starts throwing fists and stuff. I'm like, because you know who wasn't going to throw fists? The wizard.
Yeah.
See, I thought he was the impulse of, like, the entire audience watching because they're like, oh, we're going to put you down. Nuh-uh, fuck you. That's exactly what I said. I was like, no. Get him, Kincaid. Get him. I just yell at the screen, and I've seen the movie like 10 times.
And, I mean, you meet all the characters. It is what it is. The movie kind of takes a little bit of like a, hey, here's everybody, here's the exposition. But
here's
then
Joey and his nurse fetish.
Yeah, but then we get into the Freddy phallus that explodes out of the fucking house, and, like, we are back in.
Yeah, and that is probably... I would say, like, I love the cockroach death in 5, but I would say that the most memorable death in any movie in the franchise has to be the worm.
But no one dies in that scene. That's the only
thing. I know, but that's what I'm saying. That's the most famous. I would say that it's the most, like, when people think about Freddy and being, like, how Freddy was so kick-ass in the 80s, you know, like, it's the worm.
I agree, and I think that
it's such a dream sequence, though.
And it also, like, it was so good that whether it was intentional or not, it totally got ripped off the next year in Beetlejuice, because that Beetlejuice snake and the Freddy worm,
they're
both fucking awesome.
Yeah, but the Freddy worm is still nightmare fuel. Yeah. Like,
well, because he's got, the only reason I say that they seem familiar is that they both have a very similar situation where both of them look at a person that they know who that person is, and they do, like, the head nod and, like, the weird, like, evil smile.
Yeah.
Except then Freddy doesn't also say, we're coming to get your daughter, bud. He's, like, such a good movie. I wish we could do Beetlejuice. We're going to...
Someday, dude.
We'll watch it for the stream.
Hell yes.
I'm going to update our Trello in a second.
And who would win in a fight, Beetlejuice or Freddy? Like, my mind just exploded with that versus. And you guys were talking, and I'm like, whoa.
Let's travel into 1996 and pitch it to Celebrity Deathmatch and see how it goes.
Well, let's ask our 50 audience members who would win in a fight, Beetlejuice or Freddy.
But here's the thing is that, like, at first I was like, that's a stupid question. Then I'm like, no. That's a really good question.
We're going to need some math problems. Like, start writing that. Like, where's Russell Crowe from The Beautiful Mind?
We got to get him and Will Hunting together to figure this one out.
Matt Damon.
All right, so we're at Worm Freddy.
We're at
then
Worm
we
Freddy.
Get
Puppet.
So I love that Kristen is, like, the OG Dream Warrior because she's had this power to, like, bring people into her dreams. I love when... She brings Nancy into the dream by, like, falling into her chair. I love it. It's so good. And, like, Nancy does deserve to be in this movie. Like, she's... Heather Langenkamp cannot act her way out of a box. Like, I appreciate her for the first movie, but, like, she's just not a good actress.
She struggled to play herself in
You know what?
in New
the
Nightmare.
Only thing she needs in this entire movie is that hair. Because when she walks on, I was like, damn! Someone just got done up!
And she's gorgeous. Like, Heather Langenkamp is a beautiful, beautiful creature of a woman. And, like,
she seems like she's a genuinely sweet person.
And she takes this takes the responsibility of being the survivor. I mean, even though she dies, spoiler alert for a movie you didn't
see.
Yeah, but like she dies at the end of this movie, more or less. But like, she is the quintessential character besides Robert Englund from this franchise, and she embraces it completely, and she's awesome. I don't mean to rag on her as a person, but like, when you watch Dream Warriors, you realize that when she was acting in the original Nightmare, it's not acting. She's just not a very good actress. Yeah. She's like, come on, mother. And it's hard to discuss Dream Warriors without the original Nightmare.
I was like, so did they just keep all of her first takes? Because part of me, I was just like, because she's like, hi, don't do that. Oh, my gosh. You know, like, if we were looking at each other and we had to say I love you, it would be like, you would say something, and I'd be like, yes, Scott, I too love you. Let's smooch.
Perfect. Move on to the next shot.
Check out my Malaysian dream doll. This is not a set piece at all.
Spectacular.
Hero prop, this is.
Well, like, I feel like it makes...
Welcome to Horror Movie Night Theater. So,
but, like, let's be realistic that, like, with as many practical effects as they were dealing with this movie on probably a very short shooting schedule...
Yeah, all the exposition was, like, 1-2 takes. Yeah,
just get them talking.
Get the
Freddy Fallis needs to look perfect.
Because there is, side note, there is an amazing unofficial... behind the scenes of Dream Warriors. I mentioned it to both of you guys this weekend already.
Yeah. On YouTube, it's one, right? Yeah, it's awesome. Minutes.
It's all camcorder. It's basically a dude with a shoulder-mounted camcorder videotaping on film a bunch of these scenes, and it's just a great background into how they did this. The practical effects for, like,
unfortunately, the sink's not there. Otherwise, we have some answers.
I don't even.
I know. But did you hear that? So when they showed, like, the Freddy snake thing pop up, so there was a cut on it where he's just like, you know, it kind of looks like, and they cut, and I'm like, yeah, you're going to say a dick.
Especially when there's goo coming out of their mouth.
I'm not sure if you remember this from the Never Sleep Again documentary, but originally he was a very skin-toned pink snake. And they're like, yeah, paint that shit green and throw some slime on it ASAP. Like,
you need to goo that.
Can you purple his head some more?
You just see Bob Shea.
Like, really good on there.
Bob Shea. I really like the second one, and I love that dick right there. Is that... Freddy? Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
Which one are we specking out here?
So
I do want to say that what'd you call him? Ranger Bill? What was it?
Cowboy Curtis.
Cowboy Curtis.
It's the character he played in Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Right. I call him Kmart Bill Maher.
Okay, that works too.
I love the romance.
Oh, no, you're thinking of a different person. I'm talking Gordon. About Larry Fishburne.
Oh, Morpheus, the god of sleep. No, I'm talking about Dr. Gordon.
Yes, no, he is
most
absolutely
ineffectual
Bill
doctor.
He is Bill Maher.
Yeah, I love the romantic dinner they have at Nancy's house because Nancy is so fucked up after Johnny Depp dying in the first movie that she's like, she has him over, she makes him dinner, they're drinking wine, and then instead of being like, kiss me all over, she's like, check out my Malaysian dream doll. Like, she is not getting touched tonight. Like, one good way to stay awake is to bang. And she's like, I'm so awkward. Let's just talk about dreams.
So we jump over to the puppet death where Freddy
actually... so good.
The puppet death is so good, but I do have a note where Joey... So we haven't really talked that much about Joey. Joey has the inability to talk. He's a mute right now. And he runs over to a nurse to get her attention, and it is, like, straight out of Lassie. Like, she's, like...
Timmy fell down the well.
And he's, like, banging his hands on the table. She's like, what is it, Joey? Where do we need to go? Like, it's almost embarrassing.
Almost? I mean, it's not as embarrassing as his nurse fetish.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know anything about fetishes or anything.
Slamming a bedpan against, like, doors.
It's, like, full of pits.
And the guy who dies, when they first show him, by the way, that is an excellent actor who got like 2 minutes of actual screen time because everything he was putting on screen, I was like, oh, I'm captivated by this character. Even though I've seen this a bunch of times, I was like, I hope he lives. And then,
there's one thing that's really awkward to me. I think it's awesome. Like, I love this shot. But like 90% of the movie when he's walking, or 90% of the scene, he's like walking around like a puppet. And his face looks like completely pained. But for like the very first scene where he gets picked up, he just looks so jolly. Like he got hit by the Joker serum from like the first Batman movie, and he's just like, love that Joker.
And I love how we've gotten Joker and Beetlejuice in this podcast. Let's keep going.
Yeah, Tim Burton should have just made this movie. Yeah.
Holy hell.
Did you notice?
Large Marge scene.
Sorry.
Did that you scare the piss out of me as a kid. Wow.
Did you notice he looked like Sean Astin? Like, I sat there, I paused my, you know, VHS, and, like, I loved it. If anyone watches this, they're like, wow, someone, like, paused it and jerked off to the Sean Astin scene. Here. No.
You jerked off to this face? Yeah.
You jerked off to his vinegar strokes. But, like, that scene would be so less gross. And so less disturbing without the sound effects, because the sound effects are everything.
It's uncomfortable. It is an uncomfortable scene.
Absolutely. But so after that death, which they rule a suicide for whatever reason.
Because it looks like it would be a lot harder to declare it a suicide if his tendons were torn out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Freddie didn't actually pull out his tendons. But like, we get everybody on a hypnosil, which is supposed to keep them from dreaming.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about two more things with the puppet death. Because we kind of jumped immediately to, like, the actual puppet scene. But, like, the stop motion, little Freddy.
It looks okay.
As a guy who just loves stop motion, I'm like, oh, I no, love that I, little guy. And I love, it's not the best looking shot in the movie, but I love when he's at the bell tower and there is a giant Freddy, above, like, holding a puppet, like, thing.
You know, that's just, like, double negatives, but I don't even care.
But it's such a cool effect.
It looks fine to me.
That stop motion animator, by the way, was given 4 days to do that.
This is why we have him on. Four. Like, he knows all the tech specs.
Yeah.
Like, it was absurd. Like, just to put that in comparison, like, there's parts of King Kong that we were talking about.
Yeah.
Like, each 30 seconds sometimes would take 2 weeks, and that's all they were working on.
Yeah.
This guy just barely gets any time, and he nails this. It might not look great, that, like, but for his time, so it's spectacular.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're at the point where everybody gets, like, a hypnosil, right?
Yeah.
And then...
But the one girl won't take it. She wants to watch late-night TV.
The girl who's, like...
She's going to be a star.
Yeah, she's going to be on TV. She's, like, the Kmart Renee Zellweger character in this. Which comes to one of everybody's favorite lines in the franchise. My least favorite line in the franchise. I fucking hate Welcome to Primetime, Bitch.
No, because the first line's way better. He's like, here's your big break in TV. Should have just been that.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, like, it's
completely disagree.
I don't like Welcome to Primetime, Bitch, because I've heard so many people say, so many neckbeard horror dudes talk about it. And they don't realize how sexualizing that is. I fucking can't stand it because they're
okay.
I mean, like, I don't like really overtly, like, negative against women. Like, I don't like Freddy when he... I like Freddy when he's a child rapist and killer. But, like, when he's, like, a fucking, like...
But if he calls a fine lady who wants to be a star a bitch...
I don't know why that rubs me the wrong way. It's just so out of left field, and I hate it. I fucking can't stand it.
Well, and it's like... I hate the idea.
They say she's a suicide, which makes no sense.
Yeah. Who's going to jump head first into a TV set?
There's a TV in here 9 feet. I'm going to do it right now. Prove all you wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to jump right into that.
Like, Lawrence Fishburne is like, I can do that twice and not die.
Yeah. It's Larry Fishburne in this?
Yeah,
Larry.
I don't even care. It's Morpheus.
But, like, I also just hate that, like, the background of that Welcome to Primetime Bitch line is that basically... They just, like, let Robert Englund do a bunch of different takes, and they were just like, they're all so good. Like, it's like, well, that's just fucking lazy. Pick one. Like,
yeah. And I think that might be the first, literally the first time that Fred, well, I don't know. I think that, too, if we kind of take it out of the franchise, we talk about 3 as the first time that Freddy kind of got a little goofy.
Yeah.
Like, this is the first.
Which is the quippiest thing that he says.
This is the first moment of trash.
He says, "You're all my children now in 2, but like in 3, the Welcome to Primetime Bitch is like the first time he has a zinger.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't like that. Well, Freddy. When Freddy is scary.
You know, like,
it gets way worse in part 4.
Oh.
Before he's like throwing sunglasses on and like. If Mentos were doing their commercials, he'd absolutely be doing like. Mentos
Why didn't singing. He do a Mentos in 1988? Like, they could have sold so many breath mints.
Freddy's going to a big interview, but he only has a red sweater, and he sees someone painted a bench green, so he rolls on it.
If I had a time machine, I wouldn't stop Hitler. I would go back in time, and I'd be like, Robert Englund, boy, do I have an idea.
You're like, listen!
Is that a DeLorean? Shh, Mentos.
And Robert Englund, from any interview I've ever seen with him, would just be very lethargic and be like, yeah, I guess that sounds like a good idea.
He's like so, he's like Benzos in human form. Like, that's exactly what he is. Like, he's been sleeping a lot. He's a sleepwalker.
I feel like he's done so many horror conventions and has met so many of his fans.
But the thing is, he's so sweet.
Like, yeah, no, it's great. I really
enjoy The only way that I could, like, emotionally make my way through 50 days minimum of Monster Mania is to be like that.
Yeah.
Is to be walking antidepressants.
Yeah.
I'm not saying benzos are antidepressants. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, that's another reference.
But I think that, like, I could be wrong, but I think Robert Englund is also one of those guys, kind of like a Jeffrey Combs, that came from a very theater background.
He sure did. And that's what made Freddy great, but it's also what made Freddy terrible, because he kept, like, he had a blank check to be Freddy. Because, like, when you watch Never Sleep Again, they talk about how in 2, they were like, fuck it, we'll get anybody in a rubber suit to be Freddy. And they started shooting with that other guy, and it's terrible. And they were like, we need Robert Englund. So, like, I get it. And we got Jackie O'Haley.
Yeah. Who could have been. There's a lot of issues. There's a lot of issues with that. Yeah, he is not the issue in that movie.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely not him. It's the direction and the script. But, like, he really is Freddy. Yeah. Like, and I think that Jeffy Combs, I love Jeffy Combs. Like, I will defend Jeffy Combs and pick him over Bruce Campbell.
And he is way more an actor.
He's like, yes, well, where is this scene going? Yeah, he's like, yeah. But, like, I think that Robert Englund had a blank canvas to be whatever he wanted. And he was just like, you know what would be cool? Yeah. You know what kids will think is cool?
Well, but I...
Sunglasses are pretty.
But I disagree. I think that Robert Englund was whatever you put in front of him, he would do. But as it became more, I think that the bigger blame is actually on, was it Rain Harlan that did Part 4?
Yes.
Like, Rain Harlan made, because he even says in, like, Never Sleep Again, he's like, I wanted to bring Freddy to the MTV generation.
Mm, and he sure fucking did,
too. And as soon as he did that, it was like, well, now this is who Freddy is. So it's like, well, now, because it was
and
like.
And we get that until New Nightmare. Yeah,
and it's like, once he started popping up on TV, he's like, well, I guess this is who Freddy, like, well, I think Robert Englund is a person who could not care less about Freddy. As far as, like, standing up for the rights of who Freddy should be.
I disagree very vehemently, because he has a very strong stake into what Freddy should be.
Right. So,
and fifth grade Steven, who shocked his friends with a Trapper Keeper that had a child molester on it, and everyone thought it was awesome.
The most shocking thing about this for me, though, is that all of that really, really kid-centric marketing didn't work on me, and I had nightmares about Freddy every night. Like, terrified me until I watched the original Nightmare.
I'm gonna hug 12-year-old Scott.
No, it's Freddy's arms. Oh God! I just got just listening. Wow.
Why?
Matt made it weird, which is actually Matt's middle name. Matt,
that's
I made it weird, Kelly.
That's my 7th podcast. Matt
made
it weird.
Matt, wait. Oh my! Actually, that's way better than any of the other podcasts that you currently comment here. So I have a couple lines that I want to talk about here.
All right. Is one of them all in my dreams? I'm a wizard master, because man, I related to that one.
I'll get there. So we have Patricia Arquette talking about Nancy is like, you were able to bring me into your dream, and she was like, but out of context, if we just had this as sound clips, I haven't been able to do that since I was a little girl. You did that last night. That was different. Now, is this two women talking about some sort of sapphic desire that they had, or is it her talking about bringing into her dream? I don't know. But then we have everybody goes into their dreams because Kristen is available to co-opt everybody's dreams. Taryn comes into her dream, and she's got a fucking sweet-ass mohawk and switchblades in both hands and, like, cleavage, and she's like, in my dreams, I'm beautiful and bayed, which is actually how I wrote it down.
So we got B-A-Y-U-D.
Yeah, bayed.
My last name, B-A-U.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, but then I have a note that I don't remember why.
Freddy is totally stacked beneath his grimy sweater. Was he?
I think it's
because
he
woman?
Just looks swole as fuck through season.
I think
three.
I'm talking about him having tits, though. I don't know why. That's Freddy in my dreams, though.
Well, I think it's because we got enough hate mail when we said that Kane Hodder was a fat sack of shit. So I guess you're going after. I guess you're going after Robert Englund.
Well,
this
he
year.
Did cut someone up.
Yeah, he did massacre some dude. So let's talk real quick about Monster Mania while we're here. But
this is
like,
horror movie night.
Anybody
Mania.
Familiar with a little game called Telephone Pictionary? Telephone Pictionary happened in a huge way on Friday. So
and today.
A very, very like understandable accident happened with Kane Hodder. Someone gave him a machete.
A real machete.
A real like sharpened machete that he assumed.
Which is so dumb.
Which is a terrible decision. He assumed it was like a dulled down machete, and he like did a swing and like cut into somebody's arm.
Like,
so that was the first story that we heard, and we're like, okay, cool. Like 2 hours later, someone's like, yo, did you hear someone got straight stabbed in the parking lot? Like, it was like, and we're like,
the best part is those kids were dressed up like My Chemical Romance.
Dude. But it literally, all I could think of when that happened is that scene in Empire Records where like Lucas is like sitting in the break room and fucking the pizza guy comes in. He's like, yo, Lucas, is it true that you stole a bunch of money and now the mob's got a hit after you? Like, it's like the way that story so quickly escalated from like, hey, this accident happened and it had to be handled to like, there was a knife in here.
No one wins in a knife fight, apparently. I did say that it must have been so awesome to work on those moving sets because and they use those in Breaking too, which is just amazing. I just love that about this movie. That
can
they,
we
like,
just talk about that movie?
We cannot talk about Breaking 2.
I'm not
Electric
properly
Boogaloo.
Prepared. For
I have not either. I've never watched the whole thing.
I
just
have it on
VHS.
I know what, it's gorgeous.
Scott, I know why you wrote that because Joey flat out makes out with Freddy because he's got that nurse. He's the nurse with
the
perfect
the
boobs.
Titties.
Oh,
yes.
Now that's the part Freddy. In my VHS that I can barely see.
That nurse, what nurse wears a white thong to work? Like, I've never met a nurse that's been like, fuck yeah, I wear thongs. I've never met a woman who's like, I wear thongs to work. I don't care how big your ass is. Like, no one wears thongs to work. You
I'm
wear
literally wearing a thong.
I'm looking at
right
women.
Now.
Is there anybody that's like, Scott's wrong?
Well, we should not ask not my Megan, but Johnny's Megan. Like, because I feel like she's like a commando type girl. you satanic bitch.
So, real quick question. Does anybody know how this scene was originally supposed to play out?
I hope that she tongued his balls.
No, it was originally supposed to be the naked nurse with Freddy's head, so it was like Freddy with the
balls. That would have been the craziest boner of my life.
That well that was like they just like they were like, this is gonna be so cool, and then she like walked on the set and they're like,
there is actually a picture
or
of
they
it.
Give
There's
Robert
pictures
England
of
it.
Yeah.
You and I talked about this. There's pictures in Fangoria of it and another UK magazine I have. And it is like, this woman is gorgeous.
She's a very beautiful
woman. But you put
woman.
This burnt head nastiness on there, and like, she could come out naked right now and I'd be like, oh shit, where's the exit sign? I don't know, I'm out. There's no way. She is so horrible looking with that thing on.
So, this is why we need the bag for her head.
Yeah. So there's another thing that I forgot that I wrote this. I've watched this movie hundreds of times, and I've never...
I think that is a gross, gross extrapolation of how many times you've seen this movie.
I've never noticed that there's a scene. So Nancy gets all of the Dream Warriors together, and she's like, we've got to join back together. We've got to fight Freddy. But they go into the TV room, and like, there's still scorch marks all over the wall. It's been like 3 days. Like, you'd think that they'd be like, we should probably clean this up real quick.
We should make sure they're not thinking about their dead friend right now.
Like, it's only like one step away from her still dangling from the TV set.
Well, what if they never took her down? They're like, man, this TV set's always dead. I hate cable. It sucks.
And then we also meet Nancy's father, who's a drunk.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. But, like, this is where the franchise really gets shit.
Yeah.
Because, like, we get Drunk Daddy, and then we get the Bastard Son of a 100 Maniacs subplot, which is just beat to death in the next two movies. It's so bad.
Yeah. No, it's... So now we're, like, sucked into all these separate dreams. And the one is like starting right back in the movie, the beginning of the movie. We get to hear Into the Fire again, so that's like a big plus.
They didn't have money for a third Dawkins song.
No, they
right?
got those two, and man, did they make that work.
It's a good song.
But that's where we get the scene that I always remember from this movie. Like, there's a lot of scenes that are great in this movie, but I always remembered the line from Freddy where, like, in the first part of the movie, there's a guy's like, hey, honey, where's the ice cubes? Or, like, whatever the fuck he has.
Where's the bourbon?
Yeah, where's the bourbon? And then, like,
where's the fucking bourbon?
Yeah.
Which is what Steven sounds like when he's drunk.
But then...
Accurate.
When you realize that you're in a dream this time, it's Freddy, and he's like, I said, where's the goddamn bourbon? Like... But then it gets back to him calling another woman a bitch in the scene.
Does he call her a bitch in that?
I'm pretty sure he said, I asked, where's the bourbon, bitch?
God, this movie is so demeaning to women. I hate it. But, like, it's still entertaining. I've watched this movie, like, six times. Like, I can fight past the... It's not my most watched nightmare. Yeah. But it's...
But then we get, like... It's such, like, a... They just are, like, fucking flying through killing people. So you
Yeah, this got, start, like, this goes fast.
Yeah, like, I thought that this was stretched out a lot longer, but it's like, hey, here's the needle wounds death, here's the chair death. The chair death is so weak. It is such a bad scene. And have you ever seen... So originally he was supposed to, like, shove the syringes. Needles, the syringes into her arm, and her head was supposed to, like, explode. And you can see footage of it, and it looked... bad. Like, they made a good decision cutting that scene out because it just didn't look good at all. But yeah, then we get a cool, like, one of the only other note that I have, because again, I just got sucked into Dream Warriors once again, but like, the guy who grew up with a dad who made me watch Jason the Argonauts over and over and over again was fucking loving Skeleton Freddy.
And I have a note that is so painfully dated. I hate it.
I love it. I love it because it reminds me of all
Jason
of
the Argonauts. It looks. That's why I don't.
It looks exactly like Jason.
But this is 1987. Yeah. Not 1957.
So 30 years since Jason the Argonauts, and it's the same claymation skeleton quality.
But here, I do have a note about the fight where they're
that
they're having.
I think it was weird when the Cyclops came out afterwards.
Cyclops Freddy, I would be all about. But like, so
he kind of got it. He was the giant dick that tried to eat her in that one scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Cue Bob Shea coming in. Yeah, I like that dick.
I want that dick in my movie.
There should be more dick in movie. I'm just saying it right
that's
now.
That's why he did Altered Carbon.
Nailed it.
Here's a line from right before the skeleton scene. The souls of the children give me strength. And I'm like, calm down, Jared Fogle. That hit way better than I expected. So then we have Dream Daddy, which is I'm going to make a pop band called Dream Daddy. Like, it's just gonna be, did you know, like that AFI / No Doubt band Dream Car.
Yeah.
It's going to sound like that, except me doing a very poor Davey Havoc impression, but it's going to be called Dream Daddy. It's going to be just like, this is going to be. But so I really hate how fast Nancy's death is at the very end of this movie.
Oh, it's so like, unceremonious.
For her being like the face of Survivor Girls in this, like, nobody lives as long as Nancy does in these movies. Like, she made it through two full movies.
Yeah.
It took her 2 weeks to get her hair did. And she was only on set for 5 days.
Yeah, like, that's why she had to do 4.5 fucking hours.
Beauty is pain, my friends.
She's like, I'm going to make the most of my Nancy.
So do you have anything else to say about Dream Warriors besides the fact that the theme song's incredible?
What else is there to say? Like, it's just so good but so bad.
And they made a lot of money. This is incredible. They only spent $4.5 million in total budget. Marketing with it, they spent about $6 million.
They marketed it for for more.
No. They spent with total. So $4.5 on the movie, about $6 million with marketing. Okay. In the U.S., $44.8 million in theater sales.
Jesus
collective
Christ.
In North America, it was over $65 million. Yeah. Bob Shea was just like popping corks. He's like, I've done it!
Freddie Dick, it's going to sell movies.
Now we just got to get him to put on some sunglasses and we can start selling action figures.
Just get the fucking Freddie Dick to put on sunglasses and just be like, and then give him like a baby dick arm and put the fucking glove on, like the power glove on him and be like, hey, Breckenmeyer, come and play with my baby dick.
So, are we writing the Nightmare on Elm Street porn right now?
Yeah.
Has it begun?
Wet Dream on Elm Street?
Oh! I was going to say. Matt, check, mate.
Bed Smear on Elm Street. As I get more buzzed, the jokes get more rude.
But I was going to say, like, actually what I am baffled by is with all of the stuff that they were, like, aiming for kids after these movies and how much they were pushing for all of this stuff, this is, like, the prime time of...
Bitch.
Like, of bitch. Of, like, Ghostbusters toys. Of Beetlejuice toys.
And they didn't
make
any Freddy toys.
Yeah, Beetlejuice toys. All of these toys... You could have made so many action figures based on different dream versions of Freddy that I would have played with non-fucking-stop.
And the thing is it wouldn't have even had to have been in the movie.
Yeah, they could just be like, hey, this is from a dream scene, too. We just haven't filmed it.
Absolutely. It's like we were talking about in the last episode about the Cenobites. Like, they could have made bank in the early 90s with just Cenobites that didn't even make it into movies. Just like, here's a gory character and, like... Yeah. We'll sell it, and then they could have made like Worm Freddy. They could have made
Puppet Freddy. They could have made
and they could have made stuff that didn't even make it into the movie. They could have made all the Dream Warriors. They could have made extra Dream Warriors. They could have made the Dream Child. They could have had.
And it's not like it was unheard of. I bought so many action figures for movies that were not movies. From like I had all of the Alien action figures when I was like 7.
That was like, was that 93 when they did the Alien? It was
for Alien 3. Yeah,
and I think that was 92, 93. I remember those next to all the X-Men toys. And I was just so painfully obsessed with the X-Men toys. And like TMNT, X-Men, Alien 3. And then they could have had Nightmare on Elm Street right next to it. And they could have done the G.I. Joe size.
Yeah.
And they could have made so much bank because all their 9-point articulation or 16-point articulation, they're not crazy.
And it would have been the best episode of the toys.
They would have just been
reskinned.
That's all. They would have taken those molds and just remolded them from the G.I. Joes, and they would have made so much money.
Yeah. Could you imagine all these kids on the playground like, yay! I love my child molester's bird! Like,
that's the thing. Is they took away the child molestation and made him like an almost sad figure by being like, he can't help being a fucking child rapist because his mother was raped by 100 maniacs. No, like, you're a bad dude. I don't give a fuck what happened to you. Like, you know, and that's also a really bad thing that they kind of, if they were going to make the Nightmare remake good, and I've said this so many times, like, if you're going to remake Freddy,
make him
remake him, fuck no. Oh. You remake him as ambiguous. Like, that it doesn't matter. Because end result is the same. I don't want him to be innocent and then come back for revenge. I don't want him to be a child rapist and come back for revenge. I want it to be like, no one knows, and it doesn't matter because he's going to kill your kids regardless.
Fair enough. But I think that's all we have for the Dream Warriors. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out.